Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 30th day of October, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is resistance to tyranny is obedience to Yahweh God. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Kumru Ambeth. We will take callers at any point during the program, just like an open forum, if you wish. For folks that are on their computers, you should have a button that says Ask Question. That'll flag me to let me know to unmute you. If you're on a phone, then you hit *6, same thing. That'll flag me, and I will unmute you and ask you what your question or comment might be. That's the way it works. And that means that we are in the question and answer mode. That is correct. The website, we store a whole lot of information, and I'm adding a lot to it here recently, PastorDan.net. And again, it's all together, no spaces, PastorDan, and then .net. Within the last week, I guess, there's been a lot of people contacting me, loving the information. This is the sign of an awakening. I'm going to tell you, I've been doing this for a long time. And it was rare to find people such as yourselves that are cream of the crop, the salt that has not lost its savor out there, that actually enjoyed the type of information I'd send out. So these are some of the most educated people, many of them degreed, sometimes several degrees from prominent schools. So that tells you where we're at as far as the state of this nation when the educated class, the upper middle class people, are not only waking up to the problems, but they're seeking answers. And they're seeking answers towards, like the libertarians, towards John Mark and Kurt Doolittle with their proprietarianism. They're seeking out the identity message. And they're even seeking out the creators. The Church of the Creator, Matt Hale had started that when the Jewish judge charged him with a crime. Well, she didn't charge him, but he was indicted for a crime that never happened based on the testimony of a paid informant, and we all know how reliable that is. And that was either 14 or 16 years ago, and Matt has been in solitary confinement ever since he went to prison. And all his guilt, you know what his guilt was? Promoting the white race. He was Pontifex Maximus, which basically means the chief priest or whatever of the Worldwide Church of the Creator. And we interviewed him several times before he got into his legal trouble. But that's how frightened these people are of the white race awakening and actually doing something. Again, a bright young man with a law degree, a concert violinist. Not sure, I mean, let's face it, we got people down here, these animals that roam our streets that are actually hurting people, hardly see a day in jail. And here's a young man with all kinds of talent, never hurt a soul. He's never been found guilty of actually hurting anybody. He's been in jail for 16 years, most of it solitary confinement. That's a crime, okay? If we had justice in this land, Uri Call, the son of Gordon Call, would be out. Matt Hale would be out, and many others that have been falsely imprisoned under this corrupt system. And then we would go after the real culprits, which are the people who use this system to put down dissent, because that's really all it was. All Matt and his folks were doing was promoting racial purity and the salvation of the white race. And for that, he has spent approximately 15 years in solitary confinement. That shows you who's controlling the show here, folks. Just like Voltaire said, if you want to know who secretly rules over you, just find out who it is you're not allowed to criticize. Okay? And in America, in Canada, virtually every white nation, who the hell is that? The Jews. It's nobody else. The Jews. The good news is these same people that are now seeking all this information lately and helping network together are very aware of the Jewish problem. Very aware of it. Now, a lot of people are somewhat timid and a little bit afraid because, quote, they're powerful people. Well, their power lies in their money. They themselves are not powerful at all. They're puny. That's why they got to get police officers and military people to do the dirty work for them. That's why we have to fight wars for Israel, because they'd get their asses kicked in a real war. If Big Brother, Daddy Warbucks, Uncle Sam wasn't sending our sons and daughters, predominantly white, to go fight the wars for these Jews, they'd get their ass kicked. Plain and simple. Almost anybody out there could kick their ass. All right? The only reason they so-called win wars is because you and me sending unlimited amounts of money at them, giving them all kinds of military aid, and even going over there with advisors and training and everything else, and supplying them with armaments. And here's the irony of that, folks. Who owns all these goddamn banks? All right? Billions of dollars, now trillions of dollars being thrown at these banks. Well, who the hell do you think owns all these banks? Same people occupying that piece of dirt over there, crying to everybody that they're God's chosen people and claiming victimhood constantly. Okay? They got all the banks. They literally can go down with their buddy at the Federal Reserve and press a button on a keyboard, and they can have billions of dollars instantly in their pockets. And yet, they're fleecing you and me for billions of dollars of aid. Shouldn't have to aid them one damn bit. Go get these damn bankers to send them what they need. Leave us alone. But, again, when your enemy's making a mistake, you don't interfere, right? So anyway, the framework for tonight is basically talking about resistance to tyranny as obedience to the Heavenly Father. The definition of tyranny is a form of government in which the ruler or the oligarchy is an absolute dictator, not restricted by a constitution, laws, or any opposition. See, tyranny is exactly what we've got. Second definition, dominance, through threat of punishment and violence. Okay? You don't pay your taxes, who busts in your door? Okay? If you don't pay your taxes on your house, who confiscates your home and your farm or your business? Okay? Threats of punishment and violence. Not violence against criminals. They got no problem with criminals roaming the streets and terrorizing and raping and pillaging. They got problems with us, or guys like Matt Hale and Uri Call. In fact, Uri Call didn't even do anything. He's just the son of Gordon Call. That's his crime. He's the son of Gordon Call, who was murdered by elements of this government. Again, why? Because Gordon Call, a veteran, was speaking out about the income tax and the fact that it's unconstitutional, etc. And so they laid a ambush for him one night, but the problem was he was a better soldier than the cops were. And he ended up, I think he killed one or two of them, wounded one or two. And then they tried to track him down, but he got away, and he was actually not found till sometime later, and that was by treason. So he was turned in by a so-called friend, or these idiots probably never would have found him. So he was a better soldier than any of the bastards that played the ambush for him. So they murdered him in the house and then set the house on fire with his body in there. That's how much they hated him. And why? Because he was a patriot. These thugs that are being paid out here to commit violence and tyranny against us, they're no different than the redcoats came over here with orders from the King of England in the 1700s. These guys are no different. If they're going to come after us with violence, then they are no different than the Redcoats. They are no different than the Red Terror that murdered tens and possibly hundreds of millions of innocent people in Eastern Europe under the Bolshevik, Zionist, Talmudist revolution in Russia that spilled over into Eastern Europe and even spilled over into parts of Asia. Okay? We released the Red Terror on the world. That's not resistance to tyranny. That's aiding and abetting tyranny. I love these people that say America's, God bless America. Why would our Heavenly Father bless this nation? I still, after 20 years, I'm still waiting for somebody to call in and tell me why in the hell would a loving, caring Father up in heaven, why in the hell would he bless this nation? For what? Okay? Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. So the corollary is, if you're not resisting it, you're disobeying the Father. Just like General Stonewall Jackson said, duty is ours, consequences belong to our Father in heaven. In other words, you do the right thing because it's the right thing. You don't worry about whether you're going to get hurt for it. You're not supposed to worry about whether you get paid. You're not supposed to worry about any materialism. You're supposed to do the right thing. And that's our problem. We're not. But the wake-up is in progress. I spent all day today downloading, cataloging, putting the titles in my master list of a whole library of stuff put out to expose the lie of the Holocaust. This is a treasure chest of information done by people like Guillermo Rudolph and his friends. And Guillermo, I was pleased to meet him many years ago. It's been almost 19 years ago, before he got extradited back to Germany and actually spent time in jail because of his engineering research into the lie of the Holocaust. See here again, you know, the truth stands on its own, but it takes the force of government to promote a lie. You ever hear that one before? The truth will stand on its own, but it takes the force of government to promote a lie. Okay. Okay, I just got a thing here that there's an echo in the audio. If somebody will let me know if they're having problems with their audio as well. As far as I know, there should be no echo on my end because everything is exactly the way it always is. So feedback would be appreciated either if you're friends with the my numbers is text me or write it in here in the blog window. I see Mike's there, so we'll have to bring Mike on here in just a minute. But the main point I wanted to get is the fact that everybody, and I do mean everybody, is starting to feel the state that we're in with the complete lunacy out of Washington, D.C. Even our state capitals aren't much better. Look at the idiots that we have here in Florida passing a law supporting the anti-BDS and supporting that schools cannot challenge the Holocaust. Okay? Well, for one thing, shame on any parent out there that allows their child to be sitting in a public school. And right here is the perfect reason why. This moronic governor we got, who just like our president, can't kiss enough Jewish ass, signs a law in your schools, your public schools that you pay for, you can't challenge something because of the protected chosenites? Why doesn't he pick up and move over there to Israel and get the hell out of here? Because that's treason against us. Preferring a foreign nation and its people over us. And again, John Jay in Federalist Papers number 2 quite clearly defines who the real Americans are. Most of these interlopers and most of these invaders don't fit it. Most of the faces in Washington, D.C. don't fit it either, by the way. The founding fathers didn't care for Roman Catholicism or Judaism, either one. They considered them two horns on the same beast. Two horns on the same beast. And yet, who runs Washington? The same beast that runs the Vatican. The same beast that runs the financial district in London. Same beast running the Pentagon and the strongest military. Well, I'm not sure we actually are the strongest. We got the most toys. We have the most, or at least we did have the most manufacturing behind it. So if we get in a lengthy engagement, we can supply our people better. But I'm not so sure that's going to work in our favor anymore. Since I still go to the American Legion and VFW and chat with the guys and hear what's going on our military bases, I'm not so sure we have the best soldiers anymore. Again, they've got great toys, modern technology, and all of this fake money the Jews create. Okay, that's bought them a lot of toys, but as far as men, when it gets down to it, if all those toys fail, if there's a gigantic EMP and all this digital stuff just craps out, which most of it will, by the way, okay, there'll be some of it shielded, but you can't afford the weight that shielding would put on planes, helicopters, tanks. Now may get away with it because a tank, after all, is heavy to begin with. But you take some of these things like planes where you have to watch the weight limits and everything else, you're not going to be able to shield them. So what's going to happen if all this high tech all of a sudden fails? And besides that, that's an EMP that a man makes. What about our Father in Heaven? Do you think he can create one in this structure that we're in? You don't think he can create the situation where all this high-tech stuff that the Antichrists have developed with our money will fail, exactly as the book of Revelation describes? Then what are you? You're down to old-fashioned hand-to-hand fighting, old-fashioned weaponry. Because all your high-tech stuff isn't going to work. And if it's old-fashioned fighting on the ground, our guys aren't going to be prepared for it. There'll be elements. There are certain elements like SEALs and Rangers and the Marines, etc. They train a lot harder. They might be prepared, but I doubt that the National Guard, the Army, and certainly not the Navy and the Air Force, they're not prepared for anything like that. They don't even train normally for stuff like that, except for, like I said, specialty groups like the SEALs. Let me bring, I'm going to bring Michael on here. Michael, welcome to the program, buddy.
Good evening. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm disgusted. You know, isn't it treason when our people in Congress sign an oath of loyalty to another country? Yeah. Isn't it treason when you tell people in one of the sovereign states that they're not allowed to question the actions of a foreign nation? I mean, what does that tell you? When your own government tells you that you are not allowed to open your mouth, you're not allowed to boycott, you're not allowed to, and I'm getting upset here because this is like one of the final strokes. My Marine father that lives in Florida could not believe this. And he's a very passive guy. When you tell the people of a sovereign nation that they are not allowed to criticize the acts of a brutal, brutal terrorist nation, what does that mean? That means that you're in alignment with that terrorist organization and you're aiding and abetting someone. And according to the Geneva Conventions, you should be brought to The Hague and punished for this.
Yep. No argument for me. You're right. We've got treason going on in this country, and it's been going on for far too long. And I don't know about you, but I don't really see anything going on in Washington that makes me feel warm and fuzzy that they're actually going to do anything to fix the problem. Do you?
No, because they're in the enemy is in the pockets of all of our congressmen. Every single one of them. I mean, what is the motivation for signing that oath of loyalty? In other words, look at what happened to Cynthia McKinney. Not one of our people, but when someone of any people commits a righteous act, I'm sure the father looks at them and says, there you go. Shame on my people for not doing the same. Cynthia McKinney was told that you sign this oath of office, an oath of loyalty to Israel, or you will never, ever, ever win another election, and you will be barred from all of the committees. Now, that's where all the power is in Congress. You basically, other than your single vote of the 445, representatives, the members of the House, other than your vote, you don't have much power. Then if you can get on these committees, ways and means and on budgets and things like that, then you can really, really make some hay when you cross the Potomac there. But the problem is that if the rest of these traitors block you and you don't get nominated and don't get allowed to get on any of these committees, you're basically just going to sit there for the term of your office representing your district, and you're going to have no say in anything. Well, and then when the people of these two parties look at you, and both the Democrats and Republicans look at you and say, oh, you're out. You're out of the club because you refused to sign the oath of loyalty. It's like the movie Serpico. Serpico said to his corrupt fellow police officers, hey, I don't want to take the protection money. I don't want to take the bribe money. And basically what in the minds of the rest of the corrupt New York City cops, hey, it's not that you don't want to take your share. We're afraid that if you don't take your share, if you're not in on the scam, then you're going to be a snitch. That's the real thing about whoever won't sign this oath of loyalty to Israel. So basically what you have is a bunch of other, the other 545 total, including the senators. They all know that Israel has dirt on them. Dirt of some kind. And when somebody's clean, like a Cynthia McKinney, even though I don't agree with her politics, that is the greatest enemy to evil. When you don't have dirt on them, these Sheldon Adelsons and these Rothschilds and all of these other, these rich Jews who buy off Congress people. Well, who do you think they put in office? The choir boys? No, they put the homosexuals and the thieves and the pedophiles. They put the people in these offices that they have dirt on, so that they are compromised. So think about it, people. The all spending of every single penny of your tax money originates in the House of Representatives, and there was one woman who agreed. Hey, wait a second. I'm not signing this. She had guts and said, I'm not going to sign this oath of loyalty to a foreign country. So all of the other members of the House, where every single penny of your money, every bill to spend every single bit of your tax money originates there, they've all pledged loyalty first to Israel. What does that tell you? Why do you think nothing ever gets done here? Why do you think Israel is having over 4 children per married couple? 4. White Americans aren't even having enough children to replace their population. Why does Israel have a wall around it? Why does Israel have one of the most high-tech industries and militaries in the world? Because they're stealing all this money from you. And it's being authorized by compromised people in Congress who have authorized this by law. And I say that in quotes. Then they have such control over, Israel has such control over these people, that if we, as private citizens, speak up and criticize these activities, oh, we can go to jail for it. What does that tell you, people? Are you living under tyranny, the tyranny of the Jew? Come on. There's no other way to explain it, is there, Dan?
No, it's treason.
Yes. And what's the penalty for treason?
Once found guilty of it, it's execution.
Here's the thing.
More people are talking about that kind of stuff. Now, a few years ago, we first started talking about it here. We were like the icebergs. And we got a lot of ridicule, you know, when we first started talking pretty close to 10 years ago about military coup, treason, traitors should be hunted down and hung. People laughed. Well, that will never happen in America, blah, 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 blah. Well, there's a lot of people talking about it now because it's so obvious and it's in your face. That's what we're dealing with. So, you know, people aren't laughing so much now. Plus, they see the deplorable condition of this country. The infrastructure that's just, you know, while we're sending all these billions of dollars to these people that hate us, including the Israelis, billions and billions. We got people on the streets that can't afford a home, a car, a job. They can't, you know, they can barely take care of themselves. We've got, you know, major cities that look like bombed war zones. You know, I know lots of people that used to have good paying jobs, white people, and they're having a hard time. Can't find work, or they've had to take demotions or major pay cuts. It's a sad state of affairs. But again, the enemy's pushing really hard for their Bolshevik takeover, and I've been seeing a rise also in the number of the militia speaking out. Now, of course, the main body of the militia don't generally get on any kind of media, but the leadership is basically putting the word out there that They're getting ready. It's like we all know what's coming. This is classical Bolshevik insurgency, and it's a fight to the death. That's really what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. I mean, think about it. The very same Jew loyalists who vote to keep the borders of the United States open, Jew loyalists, or the Jews themselves, who sue states in federal court who attempt to protect their borders with Mexico. So let me get this straight now. The only purpose of the federal government, or one of the purposes of the federal government, is to run a military whose goal is to protect the borders, the people, and the property of the United States. But when the chief executive of a state, a governor, attempts to protect its borders and looks for help from the federal government, instead of that agency helping the state, hey, yeah, we're on board, we're here to help you, that's part of our responsibility, what do? They go to court and they sue them and say, how dare you protect the borders of this nation and your state? It's that. How much more evidence do we need, people? How much more evidence do we need that this government is a criminal organization? You've said it perfectly, Dan, in the past. It's a kakistocracy. It's rulership by the shit people.
Absolutely.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
We've been captured. I mean, it's such hypocrisy when people talk about a coup. Well, we've already had a soft coup. We're a captive nation. We don't follow the rule of law. The rights, the very lives of the people of this country mean nothing, especially the founding stock of this country, mean absolutely nothing to these tyrants. We're captives. We're slaves. We are free-range chickens on a giant chicken ranch. And so what do we do about it? The only thing that we can do, as many a wise man has said in the past, no unjust law need be obeyed. If there's anything that is contrary to rule of law, just don't do it. Refuse to comply, refuse to obey, and I'll tell you what, I can't wait till that Jew law goes to the Supreme Court. I can't wait to have the spotlight of the entire nation, the highest court in the nation, looking at this. You know what? And I hope they uphold it. I hope they say, oh, no, this is constitutional. I hope they do, because you know what that'll be? That'll be the shot heard around the world. That'll be the highest court in this land saying to every single white American, you're not allowed to defend yourself against your captors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I want to, I see Dan's here, and he hasn't been with us for a long time. I just want to check with him and see if he had anything he wants to add. Dan, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, perfectly. Yeah, you got a good connection.
Great. Okay. Yeah, it's been a while. I just got your email today and thought I'd check in to see what was the topic for the night. So.
Oh, okay. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to the Father. And Michael, I don't know if you've met Michael. Do you know Michael?
From
North Carolina. Oh, Michael, meet Dan from Georgia.
Hey, Michael.
Dan, nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
Yeah, Dan used to be on quite regularly. He's taken a little hiatus there, and so he's back on here tonight with us, so I'm tempted to see him here.
Thank you.
I don't want to put you on the spot, Dan. I mean, if you want me to, mute you for now, and then you flag me if you want, but I wouldn't mind if you just hang with us and comment when you feel like it.
Sure. I don't really have a lot to say tonight, but sure. I mean, I'll comment if needs be, if I can think of something intelligent to say.
All right. Well, I'm going to leave your mic hot. So if you're up to something, you mute it on your end, but I'm going to leave it unmuted on my end. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Hey, Mike, now, you're right. You know, the hour is late. We've been talking about this for a very long time, as even Dan here can attest to. I mean, it's been pretty close to 10 years that we've gotten very serious about a coup and the fact that we've got treason, outright treason in this country. But I got some information in the last couple of days from members of Worldwide Church of the Creator, which is Dan Clausen, got that started, wrote the White Man's Bible. I've read portions of it. Again, it's like propertarianism and most of libertarianism. I don't see any conflict with Scripture, not glaring conflict anyway. So I'm reaching out to these guys that we start working together, put to the side the superficial things that we differ on, the core values of the creativity folks, even some of the white nationalists, certainly the, what do you call them? I can't remember. But in Minnesota, there was a group of them up there. But anyway, they're basically racialists. But with the racialists, the propertarians, and the Worldwide Church of the Creator, I think we need to reach out with each other and work together as a team here. Again, laying aside the superficial things that we don't need to focus on, let's focus on our core values, which, of course, is the right for a homeland. We're, our ancestors founded this country. It's only because of these interlopers and their ungodly Babylonian money system, which, by the way, many people are waking up that is the Achilles heel for the Jewish cabal. The Achilles heel for these imposters, these invaders, these monsters, is their corrupt fiat currency system that they've got. Without that, they're nothing. And so people are starting to realize that is where we need to focus. We need to wipe out this whole Babylonian monetary system. At some point, we're going to have to do that. But what do you think about that as far as working with these other groups? Do you see that as a conflict?
I don't necessarily see it as a conflict, but, I was up to my neck in
you know, the Ludwig von Mises Institute, which is like the leading libertarian and anarcho-capitalist organization probably in the world. And the biggest problem I had with them was they're all civic nationalists, meaning, oh, we don't care whether you're Dinesh D'Souza or, Dr. Thomas Sowell or whoever. You could be of any color, any race, any nationality, and as long as you love the Constitution and the jingle of money in your pocket, then everything's fine. And you believe in the laws that protect those things. Well, that is contrary to Scripture. In other words, we need to have a nation of our own. We need to be separate from the other peoples of the world. I love the fact that they want, meaning people of other races, want to also live this way, but they have to do it on their own. They're not going to do it in our country. They need to do it in their own nation, and that's biblical. If they want to work, here and wherever that nation is, and visit and what have you, that's fine. But they are not allowed to hold office. They're not allowed to have land or property or own a company or anything like that in our nation. So. That would be
describing, Mike?
That I would see.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what you're describing?
Propertarianism.
Yeah, but you're also talking about the way this country started out. That was the way we started out.
Right.
There was no quota for non-whites in this country. The Supreme Court clear up until almost 1900, way past the Civil War. There are Supreme Court decisions that non-white people come in before the appellate court with their cases. Their cases were thrown out because they had no standing, because they were told verbatim, the Constitution doesn't apply to you. It's for the citizens of this country, which is the white race. So, again, this is well past the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So people in this country understood what you're saying up until recent history, within our lifetime, maybe a little bit longer than that. But that's when the enemy crept in and changed everything, and they got white people to buy into it, which all they had to do is figure out a way to put money in their pocket, and you can pretty much buy any white person you want. So, but that's how they did it, because we started out that way. You had to be a white man. You had to be a moral character to sit on a jury, hold public office, or to cast a ballot. Okay? We completely run roughshod over that entire mechanism to keep ourselves on the straight and narrow. I don't know. I don't know what and again, you're right. We can't compromise on the core values that we believe in, and separation is certainly core to our beliefs. So anybody that wants to go down that universalism route would not be part of our efforts.
Right.
I don't see the proprietarians going down that way.
Right. And just so that anyone who's listening for the first time, just so that you don't misunderstand, we wish all the peoples of the world well. That's in alignment with the thoughts and the collective mindset of Caucasian people. That's why we're in this mess, because we're too giving, we're too generous, we're too empathetic to the plight of others. Well, as you said, Dan, up until shortly after 1900, people always knew, it was self-evident. Well, this is a nation for white people, for European Christian peoples. There was no question as to who we the people were. There was no debate. And it wasn't until the Jew Jacob Javits and his ilk, got the immigration laws changed in 1965, where even President Kennedy was lied to and was told, we're going to try to change this, and we promise you that the overall makeup of the population of the nation will not change. Of course the Jew was lying when they said that. Of course they were, because the first words out of Jacob Javits' mouth when he heard that the law passed, he jumped up and down and yelled, "Open the floodgates."
Right.
So why didn't we react then? You know, and what does the Jew use all the time? The films of George Wallace over at the University of Alabama, where no blacks were allowed, and he, you know, the president sent the National Guard there to enforce the law. Well, there was a man who was trying to keep scriptural doctrine. That, hey, be ye separate. You know, you can have a university if you want. You're not coming here. But, you know, it's just, nothing else is going to solve these problems. There's the only way that any people, black, white, Asian, the only way that a people are going to have a high trust, productive, prosperous society is if it's a homogeneous society. It's been proven over and over again, and it's just the Jew who drags out this propaganda that diversity is our greatest strength. And everybody knows it's a lie. Even the liberals know it's a lie now, and they just don't know a way out of it because they've committed themselves in full force to this, you know, diversity thing. Now they don't know how to back out of it.
Yeah, well, that's where that professor that wrote that book, Google Archipelago, that Professor Rechtenwald, makes a very good case in point where he grew up liberal. In fact, he was basically a Marxist. And now he is wide awake and wrote the book and is giving all kinds of lectures and interviews to denounce Marxism and the left for their hypocrisy and for what they're doing to, you know, curtail free speech and try to quiet dissent so that there are, you know, so that we don't have a voice. Who was it? Kennedy that said if peaceful revolution is obstructed, then violent revolution is ensured. Something to that degree. In other words, if they blockade or impede peaceful revolution to fix things, get redress of grievances, etc., you will almost guarantee that violent revolution will follow.
That's what I think the Jew wants. They want to unleash the hounds. They want an excuse to let loose what they wanted from the beginning, which is a violent, communist-style martial law. And they're going to say, oh, we're doing it for the children. We're doing it to keep you safe. We're just baloney. This is what they've wanted. This is that Hegelian dialectic. Problem, reaction, solution. They're going to keep pushing the white man until he says, I'm not going to take this anymore. And even though 99% of these mass shootings are false flags, they're just government run. You know, if folks like us say, no, we're not taking this anymore, the next time one of our women is raped or the next time, you know, one of these court decisions comes out, you know, someone's going to be at the end of a rope or in a ditch somewhere. If we were to do that, then all of a sudden the National Guard's out and the supermarkets are locked down and the schools are locked down and, you know, people are getting marched out to FEMA camps. That's what they're looking for. They've got all of these executive orders already lined up that give them complete control over everything, all of the resources of the country. You know, you could just see any president, whether it's Trump in this administration or the next one, you know, standing up there, oh, well, you know, because of a few violent, you know, where people were trying to prevent a civil war. Meanwhile, that is what they wanted from the beginning. They want to use the full force of this military to crush our people. I mean, look at what happens now. How many... The statistics, the FBI statistics bear this out. How many white people get shot by police every year? Far more than blacks. But what do you see? Every single time a black man gets killed by the police, probably deserves it. What do we see? We see mass riots. Well, this is what's going to happen. They're trying to create a civil war situation. They're going to push white people to the point where they blow up, and then they're going to let loose, you know, the hounds. I'm telling you, that's what they want. I don't know how we avoid it, because we're attempting to make peaceful inroads and say, hey, we just want to separate. We don't want anything to do with you people, but they're not going to just let us go. We're slaves. They're not going to just let us go.
Well, it makes me wonder if they want this, what is it they think they're going to do to win? Because we have the largest, as John Mark says, and I've read many, many people that have analyzed this, we have the largest unorganized military in the world, civilian military, basically the militia. And most of them are either trained by police training or military training, or at the very least are hunters. So we've got millions of armed men here. What do you think they've got planned that they think that they're going to put down this revolution of our people when they finally break and say you've had enough? They must think they have some kind of a secret weapon, or are they just that stupid?
They're not. Remember what their goal is. Their goal is to create an ethno-state. Well, they already have a nuclear-powered ethno-state in the Middle East. So Bibi Netanyahu has been calling for the best and the brightest, you know, the upper crusty Jews to come home to Israel for a while now. So what you'll probably see is in dribs and drabs, you know, the upper crusty Jews will end up in Israel. The Jew has never cared about the lower end, lower IQ of their own people. They've sacrificed them, you know, forever and ever. The poor Jews, they'll sacrifice them. They'll leave them here stranded while they hide in that hole in Israel. And then they'll let us slaughter each other here and then, you know, maybe drop a couple nukes on us. Who knows? And then once, you know, everything shakes out here, all the people who were hiding in the hole in Israel, because like I said, they're having more than four children per couple, they'll just let, you know, when it all settles, because remember how they think. They think hundreds of year plans in advance. They don't think there's an afterlife. This is all they've got is this earth. So their goal is to wipe out everyone who would resist them, primarily the white people first. And they already think they've done what is necessary to wipe out whites in Europe. They've disarmed all of them and brought in tons of savages that have outbred them and will just run over them. And then here in America, again, if they pull out the money system and we have nothing to replace it with, what would happen here in America? 99% of the people wouldn't be able to survive for 3 days. They're not armed. They don't have any food. They have no water. They have no survival skills. The only thing they know is football and TV and beer and, you know, pizza and you know, going to Jack in the Box for something to eat. So what are we going to have? We're going to have a real zombie apocalypse. If there's no money and no commerce here, 99% of the population will be roaming the streets looking for stuff to eat. There'll be riots. I mean, it'll be medieval. The Jew just thinks that we're going to wipe each other out here, and then they'll come back and reclaim the land and the territory once it's all done.
Hmm. Yeah. You got any thoughts on that, Dan? Oh, okay. Maybe you stepped away.
Sorry, I stepped away for a second. I was still listening. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, don't really have anything to add. I agree with it 100%.
Well, let me ask you while you're on the mic there, up in your neck of the woods, is there any kind of rumblings with the people that you're in touch with or whatever? Is there anybody talking? Is there any differences at all recently compared to, say, 5 years ago, 4 years ago?
No, not really. I mean, I don't really. It's not really a topic that I even talk with many people about anymore, because it's kind of like just talking to a wall. So, you know, I don't really bring it up, and you know, it's just not something that that's even not really discussed with anybody anymore.
Mm. Yep. Well, they got something up their sleeve, that's for sure. And people are starting to figure out that Trump is pretty much a Jew ass kisser, like most of the people in Washington and even in most state governments. So I don't see anything happening there. I don't see anything happening good for our people coming out of the Pentagon. If somebody knows something I don't know, I would sure be glad to hear it. But we can take hopium every day, just like a drug. You can take hopium every day and stay high on it.
Dan, you're breaking up.
I'm breaking up?
Yeah. The sound keeps going in and out.
I don't know why. Is that, are you hearing that too, Mike?
No, I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Oh, really? Okay. It might be your connection at your end, Dan.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
I wonder if any of the other people here, any of the guests are having the same issue.
Well, there a few minutes ago, maybe 10 minutes ago or so, somebody had written in that they were hearing like an echo or some kind of distortion. So
yeah.
I think that's between the host that broadcasts this program. It's somewhere between there and the servers that a few of the listeners are on. I don't think it's universal. Because if it was universal, everybody would be having it. And since, you know, most of the people are saying everything sounds fine, so I got to believe it's, well, you're the IT guy, Mike. Does that sound feasible, what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm hearing loud and clear, so it may just be when we have multiple mics hot at the same time. I don't know.
Well, there are times if the mic is hot and somebody has a radio on or this coming across speakers or something, it'll feed back into the loop and cause problems. So that's why I tell people that the ideal thing to do is if you're going to participate is have a headset instead of the speakers on the computer. Ideally use a headset or a phone. Phone works too, and that helps prevent that from happening. But I just see that, you know, the amount of people waking up, I've never seen as many, because I'm using my retirement time, which I had hoped to be able to relax and do some time at the beach and all that. Well, instead I'm putting in as many hours now as I did when I had a full-time job. But the only difference is I'm doing something I love, which is learning and then teaching others and passing information on to others. And the benefit of that is I'm now in touch with a lot of groups across America, even in other countries, but primarily here in America. There's a lot of groups that are starting to reach out for information, and they're not as particular as they used to be. Okay, it used to be if you said something that was pro-white or exposing the Jews or whatever, I don't want to. Lately, my experience anyway, lately, nobody cares. In fact, most of the people that are asking for information and trying to come up to speed rapidly, most of them are actually saying the same things we are. They're very much pro-Second Amendment. They're pro-militia. They're for limited government. They're for state sovereignty, get back to states' rights. And nearly 100% of them are savvy to what the Jew has done to our country and actually to the world. But tonight we're talking about here in the United States. But actually they are a plague on all of mankind. Really? Is that a fair statement or not?
Well, yeah. It is. They admit it. All of the shed blood, all of the innocent blood that's been shed in the world is on their hands. And they know it. All of these wars, even the mother of the Rothschild said it. Unless my sons wanted these wars, they wouldn't happen. You know, how many... They admit that they're the fathers of terrorism. They admit that the Likud blew up the King David Hotel and murdered, you know, dozens and dozens of British who helped them get their hands on Israel. I mean, every single people that welcomes the Jew into their country is backstabbed by them. It's just, I mean, give me an example where it hasn't happened. Over and over again.
Yeah, I can't figure anywhere that it hasn't happened. And you're right, they'll take their own people out. I just found out, you know, I've been talking about that book, The Red Mafia, and how the Russian mob, which is actually a euphemism for the Jewish mob in Russia, invaded the United States, got into banking, organized crime, you name it, anything that would make money. Their fingers are into it, and controlling even politics are into it. That the author of that book died a few years after he published it, much like Arthur Kessler and his wife were murdered, I think it's less than 2 years after he wrote The 13th Tribe. So when their own expose them for their criminality, they don't fare very well. The Jewish mob, we should refer to the Jewish mob, because the Jewish mob now runs this whole country. That's why the government operates more like a mafia than it does a representative government. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
I would, yes. And look at how they act when you corner them. They instantly, as the email you sent me today, Dan, says, rather than defend their position and say, well, we behave this way because of this, they rationalize their criminality. They immediately go on the defensive. They immediately, the only thing I can think of offhand is that old Polish saying, you know, the Jew cries out in pain as they crack you in the face. They know their crimes. They know their crimes, and then they set up this world propaganda program of anti-Semitism, which is an excuse for every single one of their behaviors. It's the immediate answer. It's what they teach all of the thousands of Jewish organizations. If anyone catches you, if anyone sees what it is that we're actually doing, if they identify you, just claim anti-Semitism.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Well, like I said, the good news is they're waking up people hand over fist, at least in the circles that I travel, as far as who I stay in touch with and talk with. I personally am enjoying this because the battle's about to begin. We've talked about dying a death of a thousand cuts for years and years on this program. I sense the fact that we're reaching the end of that. The pain level and the amount of blood loss to us has finally reached the point where even brain dumbed down white people are starting to get it. So to me, that's a hallelujah. Hallelujah that white people are finally figuring out that these invaders are not here for our good. They're not here to assimilate. They're not here to try to make this a better nation for us and our children. They're here to take what they can, get away with as much as they can until it just falls apart. Of course, they don't think it's ever going to fall apart. They can just sit here and suck on the tit for the next 100 years. However, that's just not going to happen. So, you know, it's encouraging, anyway, to know that the militia is gearing up, they're training. But here again, you're not going to see that. The evening news is never going to talk about all the militia out there that's training and getting ready. They're not going to talk about the grassroots efforts to bring back state sovereignty. They're not talking about the grassroots efforts to bring in public banking or some other form of banking to get away from this Jewish magical digits and computers garbage that they've created. You know, and it's, how many people have said what a brilliant man Greenspan was? You know, Greenspan was the kike in charge of the Fed and turned it over to being computerized. Okay, well, there's no brilliance there. First of all, Greenspan don't know shit about computers. All he knows is who to buy. Okay, he uses his influence and his money to buy the goyim that do know about computers, and they figured out how to digitize money and use computers in banking, and that was the holy grail for the Jew, because now they could run, they didn't have to worry about turning lead into gold. They could just turn digits, digital money. I mean, that's a, you know, hallelujah moment for them. It's like, wow, we can create as much of this as we can get away with because these people don't know the difference. They don't even know that this is just digits. There is no money. There's no $25 to $100 trillion in capital floating around anywhere. It's digits on a computer. In the old days, it would be numbers on a piece of paper. That's all, numbers on a piece of paper. No gold, no silver, no intrinsic value, nothing. Just digits on a piece of paper have become digits in a computer, and they have convinced the world that that somehow is wealth, that debt is wealth. And the world, the rest of the world, is waking up that, no, maybe in your Jewish pea brain, that's wealth, only because you've convinced somebody through your deception to give you a service or a good for your digital worthless cyber currency. So when the world walks away from that, we can create any kind of currency. We talked about that the last program. You can make anything your currency as long as everybody in the community agrees to it, just like the people in Ithaca, New York proved decades ago. When they created a paper currency in their town up there called Ithaca Hours. They've been operating on Ithaca Hours now for decades at the local level. How hard would it be for them if there's a collapse to make that go countywide? Wouldn't be hard. And once the county makes it successful, how hard would it be for a righteous man sitting as a governor to go and say, well, let's duplicate this statewide? It wouldn't be hard to do. We don't need the Jew bankers. We don't need the Jew central banking. We don't need the Jew-run central education system. We sure as hell don't need that. We don't need any of these things. We don't need large corporations. We don't need any of the things that have been created since the Jew got their fingers into the Federal Reserve and the digital money system. Who do you think pays for all this nefarious garbage that these clowns get into? It's all this fictitious money they've created. Then they claim on the budgets, well, gee, we lost, what was it the guy said on 9/11, the day before 9/11? Well, we can't seem to find $3 trillion. $3 trillion? What? And then recently it was up to almost 10, wasn't it? Like $9 trillion in the budget, just, well, we can't account for it. How do you not account for $9 trillion, especially in a day and age where computers are tracking everything? Okay,
when the former governor of New Jersey, Corzine, the Jew, who went back to a private investment firm and lost $10 billion. How do you just lose $10 billion? And on the record, I don't mean he lost it through investments or, you know, they bet and lost it, and, you know, at the racetrack. Just he literally said under testimony, sworn testimony, not that that matters to a Jew, oh, it just liquefied. No one knows what happened to it. Well, let me get this straight. You owe the Jew a dollar, one flipping dollar on any so-called bill. They can account for that. But $10 billion disappear, and they were laughing. So here you have the Red Mafia, right, the mob, all of whom are in on this, wink, wink. Oh, but, you know, well, some guy with a title swore another guy in, and he swore to tell the truth. And on the record, you know, he said, well, we don't know what happened to it. Well, I guess we just got to believe him. As they all laugh, literally laugh, and walk out of the room. It's like, are we that stupid? Why did we just let this guy go? Why didn't somebody kidnap this guy, have him strapped down in some warehouse somewhere, give him sodium pentothal, and say, spill your guts? If we had an intelligence organization in this country, isn't that what they would have done? The FBI or the CIA? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Where are all the men? You know, people who are authorized to do things like this. You know, people who have badges and guns and could say, well, wait a second, that was corporate malfeasance. You didn't hold up a 7-Eleven for $126 and a couple six packs of beer. You stole $10 billion. Where is it? Nothing. It just goes away. You know, the most important thing tomorrow is, who's ranked number one in college football. That'll be the most important thing.
Well, the unwashed masses are what some speakers used to call the average person under the bell curve. Unwashed masses, they're never going to get it. But then again, that's why when this country was founded, the American Revolution only involved about 10 to 15% of the people, and actively involved only about 3 to 3.5% of the people. So the vast majority of the rocks out there, that's why the Jew got in there and screwed with our whole election process to allow the unwashed masses to have political power. Because the founding fathers knew that is a symptom of the bell curve, that the vast majority of people just don't give a damn. They just want to lead their life. They want to be left alone. And that's why the idea of a biblical monarchy or an aristocracy, it always worked for our people. Until the Jew came up with World War I and all of the machinations at the first part of the 1900s to wipe out the Christian monarchies, okay? They hated the Christian monarchies because that was a way that our family could stay together. The patriarch, the monarch, with his elders to assist him, would govern the country as a patriarch, just like the patriarchs of ancient Israel. That was what the monarchs of Europe were supposed to do. Now, were they perfect men? Well, look in your Bibles. How many of our patriarchs were perfect men? Last time I checked, none of them. And yet it still was a sufficient form of government to get us to here today, thousands of years later. Okay, so we survived an occasional bad king because a good king could undo all of his machinations and nefarious deeds with a stroke of a pen. Now look at us. Okay, we've had treason for decades. We got somebody in there now that's supposed to be one of us, and it's still a stalemate. Okay, but if a monarch goes in there with his privy council and the military behind him, things happen overnight. Overnight. And people say, well, Dan, what happens if, wait a minute, what happens if you get a bad one? Do you get up every morning thinking, well, I don't want to go outside the door because a rock might fall on me from space, or a bus might hit me, or a neighbor might get pissed off on the road and shoot me? Is that what you do? Do people actually get up every day and do that? Why the hell would you focus on the negative all the time? Why aren't you... You know, one of the Bible and Proverbs says, my people suffer from a lack of vision. And that's what's wrong with the white people today. They don't even have a vision of what it means to be men anymore. They don't even have a vision of what it means to be responsible and to be involved and how to form governments and form banking. We can do all those things. We are the civilization builders, not these crafty little sons of Satan out here with their magical cyber currency. That's bullcrap. We know how to build real civilizations. We know how to reward people who have actually innovated and done things properly. We call it the man sitting under his own fig tree. In other words, if you invent something and it makes a lot of money and a lot of people want it, you are entitled to those profits. Nobody else is. The state's not entitled to it. a bunch of damn Jews over here jealous of the white guy inventing something. They're not entitled to it. No. The guy that actually put it together and made it work, he's entitled to it. And if he wants to give half of it away to a charity or to some other, that's his business. It's his. We know how to do that. We know how to build every state of this union and make it a sovereign 50 states again. Actually, they never really gave it up, to be honest with you. That they tell us they did, but no, they didn't. No, they didn't. The Founding Fathers in the Federalist Paper make it very clear the states were to retain their rights and their sovereignty. Okay, the intention of the law is what a law matters. The intention, not the wording. Not the wording, because silver-tongued devils and people's memories change over time, so wording and meanings of words can change, but intentions don't change. The Founding Fathers developed this country with the intention that it be passed on to their posterity. That's you and me, and that means white people. We can fix this damn thing. We just have to figure out when are we going to say enough is enough? And when I say that, I'm talking to the white military men. When is enough enough?
Agreed, completely. That's why when we talk to John Mark and Kurt Doolittle, we say, hey, original Constitution was great, but we've got to make it a little more ironclad. Just so, like you said, those silver-tongued devils someday down the road don't try to change the definition of who we the people is. It's not anybody, it's not every single person, every bipedal creature standing on the same piece of dirt. There is a specific racial definition of who the we the people were, and everybody knew it. It was self-evident. Nobody thought, oh, well, you know, a bunch of white guys standing around with white powdered wigs discussing this in Freedom Hall in Philadelphia, they didn't stand around and say, well, do you think we need to put it in there that Indian people or blacks are we the people? No. It was self-evident who this Declaration of Independence and Constitution were meant for. And as you said, John Jay said it in Federalist Papers. They all said it in one way or another. Nobody in a million years can possibly make an argument that these white European men of good character came here to build a nation for black people or Chinese people. Nobody. What rational person, or as they say in the law all the time, what reasonable man could make such an argument? Nobody.
You can't, right? You can't.
No.
I found another book on my shelf. I read it years ago, and I started thumbing through it. I would highly recommend folks, particularly since what appears to be coming at us very quickly. The author of the book is a gentleman I met in Virginia, Richard Kelly Hoskins. When he would get up to speak, I felt like I was transported back in time, and I was listening to Robert E. Lee. This guy exemplified everything we ever thought about the genteel society of the Old South. He had white hair and a beard. He had a few pounds on him, but he was still very well spoken, very educated, and with that Southern drawl. It felt like I was in the presence of General Robert E. Lee. It really did. But Richard Kelly Hoskins wrote a book. Actually, he's written about five or six that I would highly recommend. But this is the one I found. Vigilantes of Christendom, The History of the Phineas Priesthood. It's still available. You can even get it on Amazon. But there are, I believe there's some PDF copies out there if you can't afford it. Contact me. I'll make sure you get a copy one way or the other. But you can still buy the book. I believe Mr. Hoskins is still with us. But it is jam-packed full of stories and how he relates the workings of the Phineas priesthood, of course, back in biblical times, but also how that equates to us defending ourselves by the actions of vigilantes. Because really, that's where we're headed. When, you know, people don't seem to understand this, and I've read a lot of books on how the KKK came into existence. Most people don't have a clue what the real history is. But if you think about it, after the Civil War and the carpetbaggers, predominantly Jewish, invaded the South, the KKK was only a desperate population of the South trying to protect themselves from murderers and rapists. Because there was no law down here for the Southerners. So the KKK basically was a vigilante group that went out there, and they didn't just pick people indiscriminately out. That's what the Jew wants you to believe. That's bullshit. The whole reason for the burning cross was a warning. If you were a wife beater or you weren't taking care of your family, and they put those crosses in anybody's house. They'd put them in the mayor's house or a white family's house or a black or a Jew. They didn't pick on anybody. It was all based on biblical law. If you were violating the biblical law, then they would put a cross in there telling you that you had better straighten out, or we're coming back the next time with a rope. It was the only law that they had. And we're approaching that period now. The cops are out here defending Antifa while they're throwing acid on people and feces and urine, and they're standing there with their hands in their pockets, because that's what the Jew leaders of these towns, typically, like in Charlottesville, that was a Jew and a black. Now, do you see any white Christian Protestant men in that group? No. And the cops listened to what these interlopers, these invaders, told them to do, just stand by and let the Antifa folks do whatever they wanted to do. Whereas if you do anything to promote or protect our people, you're put upon. Well, that's a sign that we've already been taken over by a Bolshevik revolution. Mike?
You know what? That's why I said on the last program, what if, and I'm saying what if, you try to go to, a public speaking event where Dr. Charles Murray wants to talk about his book, Bell Curve or Human Accomplishment, and there's a bunch of, you know, masked Antifa, all in black, standing in front of this place, threatening my mother, your daughter, my kids, Dr. Murray himself, and the cops stand by and do nothing? What does that tell you, people? You're trying to go to a paid event. You have a ticket in your hand, and you're trying to get into a public building. A public building that your taxpayer money funded. A school, an auditorium, you know, these places that they rationalize to you when they pass a bill that, this sports stadium or this place where these Congoids will be bouncing a basketball, that's good for the community because we can use it for other things too. It'll pay for itself. Then you try to go in and watch a scholar speak on a topic that someone else doesn't agree with, and your family gets beat up or barred physically from going. Does that sound like America to you? Does that sound like you live in a free country where your police and your government, a Jew mayor and a black assistant mayor, tell the police that if they do anything to assist any of the public that's trying to come to that event, that they will be suspended? This is what happened. This is exactly what happened. So what if our organization shows up wearing brown shirts and some couple people happen to have flamethrowers? What if that happened? And the 20 people who thought they were tough guys bullying a bunch of little girls and old people happened to be lit on fire? Gee, that would be awful, wouldn't it? How many times do you think George Soros would be able to pay people to do those things again? I'm not going. Whitey's waking up. I'm not going for $20 an hour. No way. No way. I'm not going to crisis act. I'm not going to be a part of Antifa for $20. I'm not going up in flames. Those people are crazy. Do you think these are trained military men doing this? These are punk kids that George Soros is paying. These are punk kids that your public school system has brainwashed into believing that you're the enemy. I'm not calling for violence, but we're defending yourself is not initiating violence. The violence has already been initiated against us. If the people who swore an oath to defend us, the police, the National Guard, have refused, what are you going to do? Say, oh, well, what's on TV? No, don't let these people have their way. Do something. I don't know, Dan. I don't understand. You know, what's going to happen is somebody like you or I is going to go to one of these events, and we're going to do something, and we'll be the next sucker on CNN. You know, the Kike News Network. You know, being, you know, just absolutely vilified because we stood up for our own people. How many videos has Colin Flaherty put out where one white person, one, is being absolutely bullied and beat down by 10, 15, 20 blacks? Nothing ever happens. Nothing ever happens. Cops getting beaten, threatened. Police cars being stomped all over in black riots. We're on our own, people. We're on our own. The government's not going to help us. The police are not going to help us. This is the purpose of the militia. Keep me honest, Dan. This is the purpose of the militia. When the Redcoats claimed to be the police force, who were supposed to be keeping the peace, but were kicking doors in and raping women and stealing property and lighting barns on fire, what happened? Farmers picked up their pitchforks and their muskets and said, we're not going to take this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Reminds me of that story after World War II when the soldiers came back to Athens, Tennessee, and they found the corruption, and the local sheriff was in bed with the local mayor, that both of them corrupt, and they were stealing the ballot boxes and counting them in private so that they could stuff them and change the outcome of the election. And the men took up arms, and they even had dynamite with them, and they basically trapped them in a building and forced them to capitulate. So I guess the big question is there any testosterone left in the white man in the United States? The rest of the Western countries, I would also question it, but this is our home turf right here. So what's your opinion? Is there any of our people left to do the fighting, or have we completely been mentally castrated?
Well, I agree with what John Mark says when he says that about two-thirds of the military, you know, agrees with secession. Well, I would like to ask a few more questions to those two-thirds who said, yeah, I would secede. Well, in these situations, are you going to worship the military? Are you going to worship cops? Are you going to worship anybody who holds office? Or are you going to do the right thing? That's what I'm most worried about. I think there are plenty of red-blooded American, you know, white men who would step up and do the right thing, but I think we've been so brainwashed into, you know, getting teary-eyed over the American flag that anybody who's got a badge or claims to be law enforcement will be worshipped, and nobody will raise arms against so-called police or military who are acting like redcoats instead of the black robe regiment.
Well, that's true. That's right. They can't be. They can't just automatically. Well, no public servant, and police officers are public servants as well as the military. No public servant should be automatically given a pass just simply because they're a public servant or they got a uniform on. They're held accountable. To be held accountable. In fact, the founding fathers and scripture support the idea that public servants are to be held to a higher standard than you or I as civilians, because they're in a position of trust. Violation of that trust is treason. Mm-hmm. That's why people shouldn't go into public service with a lackadaisical attitude. It's a very serious thing. The founding fathers believed that as well. That's why you didn't see a bunch of reprobates like AOC and Schumer and Pelosi and just the walking dead mentally in Washington or in state capitals, because there was punishment if you violated that trust. The founding fathers, even before we became a country, they used to lynch or tar and feather public servants that went off the rails. They went out and punished them.
Yeah. We lived in such a more polite and civilized society. That's why the Jew always puts forth this propaganda in movie, TVs, broadcast news, what have you, that the vigilante is a bad thing. People who take the law into their own hands. A posse was a sacred thing. When somebody committed a crime and there was nobody, or let's say the local sheriff was the only one with the tin star on his chest, and mm-hmm. he needed help, it was considered an obligation. You didn't have to go, drag people out of their cabins and say, hey, I need help. Everybody knew dang well that this was an obligation. Hey, what if it's my cattle that got rustled, or, my daughter that got raped, or, my money that got robbed out of the bank next time? Everybody lived in a community. There was common unity because you had an all-white, high-trust society.
Oh, homogeneous. We talked about that.
Yep. Yeah, I just texted you a picture, Dan. I mean, I don't ever claim to be the biggest, baddest, toughest guy. I mean, I'm definitely not the best shot. But, how many guys, in the same closet where they've got their their mops and their brooms and their ironing board and their iron hanging up, have that mini arsenal there? I mean, this is what this is what all people used to have. I mean, if a man was without his guns and his horse, he was basically dead meat.
Right.
So what are we today? Look at our civilization today. What are we? We are white people scattered around because what do? We flee. We're individualistic. We run away to places that we think are going to be better, nicer, safer, for our children. Or we say, I want to live in the big city because that's where all the culture is and all the theater and the restaurants and the movies and the bars and the nightclubs. And you're not around your own people. You don't have a community anymore. When people used to go to church, even if it was a church that didn't have the doctrine right, at least everybody came and they were dressed well with whatever their best was that they had, and people were polite to each other, and they said, yeah, this is my community. These are my people. I don't love everything about all of them, but you know what? If they need me, I'm here, and if I need them, I know I can call on them. We're not like that anymore. We're not. If you say hello to people in a grocery store today, they look at you like you're a nut. Literally. If you, I pull up alongside of a police officer who's on the side of the road sometimes and say, hey, are you okay? Are you stuck? Well, why would you think that? What's wrong? Can I see your license, please? I mean, it's like we live in a concentration camp with a bunch of strangers. We've lost that. And that's what the Jews' plan was from the beginning, that if they can miscegenize our blood, and even for those who stayed white, let's just spread them out. The most important thing is commerce. Have a job. Get the last shiny thing. Go on the most trips. Don't have kids. Be fulfilled.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Well, I personally, that's why the verse where Christ said, when I return, will I find faith upon the earth? I think that's what he was talking about. You know, everybody thinks, here's what cracks me up. These people that think because they go to church every Sunday that they're Christians, that they're followers of the Christ. Really? I put a comment on one of the channels today. I said, hey guys, let me ask you a question. If I sit in your garage for a couple of days, does that make me a car? Okay? Just sitting in that church, that building, doesn't make you a Christian. I said, let me tell you something that's going to happen. Most of those people in that building every Sunday are not believers. They're not. They're going through the motions because they think it makes them look better, or they're there for the social aspect, or they're for a free lunch, or they're there trying to pick up girls, and girls try to pick up guys, whatever. But they sure as hell are not there because they follow the living Christ. No, they're not. Most of the people I know that are actual believers don't even go to church, didn't step foot in a church. I can find more people that could identify with Christ at a bar than I can find in churches today.
Mm-hmm. You know what I would like to do, Dan? I would like to go to one of these big Crystal Cathedral churches. I'll wear my suit, and I'll stand outside, and I'll have a clipboard, and I'll take a little poll, and I'll ask the same question of everybody. Who was the kinsman redeemer, and why is he called that?
Yeah. That's a good one. You're right.
Do you think, what percentage of these people, of all races that come out of these so-called Christian churches, will understand that concept and will be able to tell you why? No. Nobody. Nobody
yeah.
will. So, I mean, it's right in the book. The Jews didn't take that out. So why doesn't anybody talk about this in church on Sundays? They can read everything they want out of the, you know, the so-called Jew Pauline letters, but they can't talk to you about that part. They don't talk to you about the part where Christ was at the well and wouldn't talk to the foreign woman, wouldn't even acknowledge her, because to heal her daughter would be giving the food of the children to dogs.
Yep, that's what the book says.
What it says. How come Joel Osteen doesn't teach that? How come Benny Hinn doesn't teach that? How come that Jabba the Hutt, sweaty, disgusting, Israel butt kisser John Hagee doesn't teach that? It's in the Bible.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know that.
Why I'm worried.
It's in your face. It's in your face. Well, we gotta hang on to what the Father told us in Psalm 91 and other Psalms like Psalm 139. that he doesn't abandon us. So even as bad as things look, I'm not going to worry about my own self and the people like you that I know actually love the Father and are doing the best you can to live the right way. Somehow, we're not going to suffer what's about to happen. I'm not sure how he's going to do that. I really don't even care at this point. I just trust in it. I can feel it in my bones. He does not forsake his own people. So we, because we're loving, caring, sharing people, it bothers us to know that there are people that we care about that are not going to make it. And like you said, we don't hold a grudge against any other race. As long as they behave themselves, I really don't care. But I don't want them trying to marry into my family or to buy up property in my nation. I'll be glad to send help and even go down and do some volunteer work to help you get your nation fixed. But you don't need to come into my nation. So we don't want any of this stuff, bad stuff to happen. So it bothers us. But, if people don't wake up and repent, exactly as the book says, repent or perish. And it's very clear in the scriptures, nothing that offends me will come into my kingdom. Those are his words. Nothing that offends me is going to come into my kingdom. And these people that are cars sitting in garages called churches, they don't even know what that means, because they've got some prostitute behind the pulpit telling them that you've got your salvation card, so you don't need to worry about the law. There's no restrictions on you. Do as thou wilt. Where have we heard that before? Oh, that's right. Mm. Satan said that, right. Do as thou wilt, because you've got your Jesus card. You've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. You've come down here and prayed the sinner's prayer, and you're good to go. That's what they actually think.
Yeah, and then play with a snake and gibber on the floor, you know, just shouting absolute nonsense, gibberish. That's the sign of a Christian, not keeping the commandments. Flopping around on the floor, playing with snakes.
It's just like I've had family, we get into these discussions and, I'd say things like, well, what's the purpose of the church? To save souls. I said, what the hell does that mean? To save souls? Do you guys know that the Greek word salvation is talking about saving from physical harm here and now? It's got nothing to do about the spirit world and the hereafter. It's got to do with the troubles that are here now. So what are you doing to, quote, save people that are, dying of cancer, dying of liver disease, dying of lung disease, dying of vaccinations that are bad, dying from malpractice or iatrogenic disease, iatrogenic deaths by the medical mafia. What are you doing? Dying from the invasion of people who are not of our kind, never have been of our kind, and they never will be. What are you doing to save them? We're to love everybody, because, that's what Jesus would say. Jesus would say, love everybody.
Yeah, white women going to court and staring at a black, rapist and murderer wearing an orange jumpsuit, ready to go to prison for the rest of their life, and pleading to a judge to please be lenient on them, that Jesus would want everyone to forgive that savage for what they did to that beautiful Israelite girl. No, that's the opposite. That is the opposite of what Christ would say. Kill that savage.
Yeah.
Kill him.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have been anywhere near your daughter in the first place. Why weren't your men defending your daughter against these savages? Who taught our people that allowing these beasts of the field, which is exactly what the book calls them, to touch our people, to even be near them, Who taught us that that is the right Christian thing to do, which is the opposite of what the book says, the
right.
exact antithesis of biblical doctrine?
Yeah, it's the prostitutes. Here's a good case in point, like when we talk to the propertarians and other people like that, where we talk about common sense. Think about this, all the violence and all the crime and how much we pay for that. I mean, look at all the prisons, the cops, the judges, the lawyers. I mean, crime is costing us in a lot of ways. Let me ask you a question, Mike. If we were to get rid of the people the Bible tells us to, rapists, murderers, kidnappers, etc., traitors, those kind of people, if we did what the Bible said, there's a thing called repeat offenders. Do you know how much crime that we put up with in this society that is done by repeat offenders?
Yeah. And
a
in
lot.
The proprietarian sense, it's called externally imposed costs.
Right.
So here you've got people, let's say you, who suffered a loss, whether it was family member or property. People outside of your family decided for you, under color of law, that savages were allowed to live near you, and that if you tried to do anything about it, you'd be breaking the law. So they imposed, by having a people who, as a nation, as a race, have a far lower IQ than our people. And what's the number one way to destroy the productivity and the peace of a nation? Lower its IQ. So somebody external to your family, through the color of law, decided that they were going to impose a cost on you and your family, and you had nothing to say about it. Under the propertarianist constitution, that is illegal. That is illegal. You can't do it.
Yeah.
So all of this nonsense of, oh, well, they're human also. Well, as a people, you're not allowed to push them on me. I have the right to disassociate from whoever I want, and you're not allowed to steal my property, and you're not allowed to redistribute my property to people who are not my people. If I'm going to help someone, it's going to be because I decide to distribute my property, not you. Gee, what a paradise. And this is the way the country used to be. There was no income tax. There was no redistribution of wealth. None. People think
yeah.
this is all a dream. And that's what the Jew and the liberals say. Oh, well, that's idealistic. You live in a society. Well, it's the way we became the most prosperous and powerful nation on earth. Now what, Jew? Now what? Oh, gee, that's what you have in your country. Israel is a homogeneous ethno-state. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And we just take it. We just take it from these people.
Yep. I like you said, these are perilous times. The good news is the wake-up is advancing very, very quickly. I do know there are brave guys out there. They're in the militia. I've met them. I don't know how big the militia is, but I do know they exist and they're out there. We just got to trust the Father is going to have his hands on us as this thing plays out. But it's heating up. I wish people would understand that. It's heating up very rapidly. And this is the communist insurgency right in our face, almost daring us to try to stop them. That's how ballsy they are with their control of the printing press, their almost complete control of the mainstream media. They don't think we have the numbers. They don't think we have the resolve. They don't think we have the timidity to stop them. So.
Yeah, a friend of mine calls it the war of the word, meaning they change the meanings of words. They change the meaning of the Bible. They changed the meaning of who the living word himself is, what he stood for, and what his doctrine is, and then the war of the womb. Everybody
yeah.
else in the world is being funded with our resources to have as many kids as possible to replace us. This isn't an accident. This isn't an accident. And if these Jews really wanted a population of people that was employable, meaning could actually work high-tech jobs and service jobs in such a way that they would earn a profit, they would want us to have more kids because we're the ones that produce everything. We're the ones that provide high levels of service. You know, the absolute chaos that goes on in minority businesses, they can't run anything, nothing. So if the Jew is doing this under the guise of, well, white people don't have enough kids and we need more people to work and pay taxes. Really? How's that working out in Europe? Like 90%+ of these so-called refugees that are being brought into Europe are unemployable. Unemployable. And the Muslims have all figured out, you know, and their IQs are like through the floor also. They're, because they're so inbred. They've got this ploy now that, oh, well, I'm not allowed to work on certain days because of my religion, and I'm not allowed to work with people who aren't Muslim. And stupid white people just give them public services and pay for everything for them to outbreed us.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
Who would have thought that? Who would have thought that? That the people who went to World War II, you know, overseas to fight these incredible battles against this supposedly evil enemy would go home and then be told, oh, you people who were supposedly the greatest generation, you're actually the shit people, and you're not good enough, and your progeny isn't good enough. So we need to bring all of this, you know, human refuse that can't feed itself and doesn't know what toilet paper or electric power is into your countries. And then we're going to hand them all the toys that you invent while you go to work. To feed and clothe them.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't that drive you nuts? You're on the highway and you're looking over and there's some savage driving a nicer car than you with probably a $400 pair of sunglasses on, holding up traffic, playing with a cell phone like a gorilla playing with a toy behind the bars in a cage.
Oh yeah.
It's like
yeah.
what the heck is going? This is what we built a civilization for?
No. No. It's all gonna play out because it's unraveling. The good news is it cannot go on the way it is. We've reached an impasse. As John Mark says, the schism between the left and the right, whether you want to call it that, the good and the evil, whatever term you want to use, but the schism is so wide right now. There is no coexistence. It's not even possible. So the good news is the death by a thousand cuts is going to come to an end soon. So either we will prevail and the wicked are going to perish, or they're going to prevail and we're going to wish we had perished. Because all you got to do is read any of the historians about what the Bolsheviks did to the white men, women, and children of Russia and the Ukraine, and places like Croatia and Serbia and others, when they take over, you'll wish that you and your family were dead. Death would be far better than what they'll do to you. So one of the two is going to happen here. I want to tell everybody about another book I just got a hold of, A Man Beyond His Mission, An Insider's Secret History of the Decay of American Society, Military and Law Enforcement, Mitchell Henderson. And he's one of our guys. And I read some of the excerpts from the sample of the book. He's going to make some points that are going to go right in line with everything we've been talking about here for many years about the corruption, and even that one police officer came out about the racial makeup of police forces, and he just retired, so he's talking about what it was like to be a policeman in the United States and deal with all this racial stuff. And again, he's being honest, and so he's saying many of the exact same things we have, that they promote these non-whites, they typically don't perform as well, they're often belligerent, they're lazy, they're incompetent. It's unbelievable.
Well, and they know they're inferior. And I'm sorry, people. I mean, look at all the science. I mean, I'm not sorry for saying it. I mean, it's true. But it doesn't make me feel better that I'm living amongst a group of people who are now about 15% of the population of this country who, on average, have a 70 IQ. 70. That's retarded. That is literally retarded. In America, a 70 IQ is considered retarded, severely handicapped, and unable to provide for oneself. Well, what did you think was going to happen? What did you think was going to happen if you take a people, sub-Saharan Africans, who have an average IQ of under 70 for their whole continent? What did you think was going to happen if you brought them here and put them on different dirt? Well, if you're just nicer to them and give them enough iPhones and iPads, it'll change?
Nope.
How is severely lowering the average IQ of our nation going to help our nation? How?
Well, we're violating every law of common sense, scripture, history, you name it. We're violating
nature.
Them all.
Huh? Nature.
Nature, yeah. We're violating everything today. Not only the scripture, but everything that's... Lord, I'll tell you.
And then you take somebody with a 70 IQ and you breed them with somebody who has 105 IQ. Well, what's going to happen? You lose the genetics of both. Parents. There's only 23 pairs of chromosomes, 23 from the mother, 23 from the father. It's impossible to get a higher IQ. It's impossible. So you are condemning that child to not only not knowing what its race is, but to being dumber than its smarter parent. What is the end result there? You're condemning the next generation to having less prosperity, freedom, innovation, invention. You're condemning that child, no, regardless of what you think about interracial marriage. You're condemning that child. How can you? I mean, these bleeding heart liberals who just want to give their daughters over to these people. I mean, don't they care about their own people at all?
No.
They would rather see their miscegenized, dumbed down grandchildren than be called a name.
It beggars description. It really does. Why are people within my lifetime now, when I was a boy in the 50s, white people did not act this way. There was the liberal BS and all was just starting to eke in, mostly at the higher levels. But back in the hill country and in out in the rural areas, I can tell you that our people did not think that way. So it's been within our lifetime that this grand delusion has been foisted upon our people, and it's just it's just.
Can anybody say that this is working out, though? I mean, what are the measures of prosperity and peace? We've got more interracial crime than we've ever had before, even though we had a black president, and things got even worse under that black president. We've been in, since the implementation of the United Nations, more innocent people, meaning non-military combatants, have been killed than in all the other wars combined before that. More military people have been killed than in all the wars before that combined. I mean, we've got supposedly the richest country in the world. What's the definition of rich? To who? The Jew? Almost $23 trillion in debt.
Yeah.
$23 trillion. How is that prosperity? How is that being a rich country? And yet, we give hundreds of billions of dollars to a foreign country, Israel, who's, and you could call him the father of Israel, the Rothschild dynasty. They can print as much money as they want whenever they want. It's not even printing. It's just hitting a keystroke on a keyboard and create it electronically. So why do we have to drain the resources of the United States of America to help a Jew country when the father of international central banking is the guy who started the country and could just give them as much money as he wants? Why does it have to come from us? Because it's a purposeful draining of the resources of our people. They admit it.
It also reinforces the victim attitude that they want the whole world to think that they're just a tiny nation and people are pressing on them and they don't like them just because they're Jews, and how the poor Arabs are just going to overrun them if we don't send them billions of dollars and threaten every Arab nation to with retaliation. I mean, it's all part of the kabuki theater that they're playing on us. It's sickening.
Yeah.
I wish people would wake the hell up. It's just,
Even the name of their military force, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, what military is more belligerent? There isn't one, except maybe the U.S. And most of the fighting by the U.S. is on behalf of the Jew. So,
right.
Even the name. Yep.
Hey, I wanted to ask you here before we run out of time. The stuff about November 3rd, I wanted to find out if you've heard anything more about that coming up this Sunday. And also, I just saw a headline that the largest, it's not a deployment, a training exercise, I guess, the largest training exercise by the Marine Corps since World War II is going on right now at 29 Palms. Have you heard about either one of those things lately?
I have not heard much at all, Dan. I mean, you have far more military insiders and intelligence insiders than I know.
Okay. Well, like I said, it tells me that, again, somebody's up to something, but who it is, what they're up to, and who's it going to benefit, that remains a great big mystery, because I'm not one of these people, just because it's the United States military and Washington behind it, that it's automatically going to be good for us. That doesn't always play out. So I'm telling all of my contacts, militia and like, that you need to be on your highest alert right now. Every family, every local militia, if you've got a good sheriff, you need to reach out to them and let them know you're there. You don't need to let them know how many of you are or who your men are. Just the leaders. Just the leaders. Get the word to the sheriff that, you know, because when it gets down to it at the local level, if you've got a righteous constitutional sheriff, you've got a very powerful ally in your area, and the militia need to work with them. So, because this thing could go hot almost any time now. And I don't know if that November 3rd warning is going to play out or not. It really doesn't matter. Because if you look at what's going on, the symptoms, it's all pointing to something happening fairly soon. Even this guy, Kunstler, was on the Greg Hunter show, and I didn't get to hear the whole thing because I didn't have enough time, but he's basically saying, and I've read a lot of his articles, he's pretty savvy, and he's saying that there's not going to be a 2020 election. And you know what? I believe that as well. We've reached a complete 100% impasse in this country. Complete. It's broke. It's broke. They've let enough invaders in that are almost 70 to 75% Bolsheviks. They have discouraged whites. They've taken the kids in the colleges and convinced them that Bolshevism, Marxism is a good thing to do, and they're too dumb to figure it out. So they have set the stage where we will never win another election. Just not going to happen. That's what that plan was all about, and Trump bought 4 more years to make sure it's going to happen. Okay? And, you know, if he turns out to be a good guy, I'll be the first guy to offer an apology and say, geez, I'm sorry, I misrepresented him. I think Trump and his whole charade in Washington, all of this Kabuki theater and IG report and Russiagate, all that is just chewing gum for the mind to get us to sit back for our 4 years, that bought him 4 more years to get more illegal aliens, get us more miscegenated, get us more indoctrinated with this ideology from the left, and that's it. So the good news is no more death by a thousand cuts, because we're getting ready to go hot. I can feel it in my bones. This thing is, we're right back to 1775. The oligarchs or King George today is the oligarchs in the kakistocracy in Washington that are the tyrants. And we, the people, have to decide what we're going to accept and not accept, because they're not going to stop. This move to the side of the Bolshevik Marxists, this degeneracy into the perversions and transgenderism, all that stuff is not going to stop, because it's all driven by Jewish money and Jewish perversions. Talmudic, dark, creepy, monstrous perversions that only come out of the mind of a Jew. I've said it for years. I've watched these movies that are produced by Hollywood, and I'd sit back and go, what kind of person even thinks along these lines, let alone makes a movie about these chainsaw massacre, Freddy Krueger, just murder mystery, all of this sick stuff that they put on the screen. Who in the hell actually thinks this is entertainment, and who thinks this stuff up? Well, now we know who runs Hollywood. We know who runs entertainment. We know who runs the TV stations and who pays these playwrights and screenwriters to come up with this garbage. It's all out of the minds of a Jew, the sick, demented, twisted minds of Jews. Even Sigmund Freud said he started psychiatry and psychology to help fellow Jews, because they're the most mental people walking around. Amen. One of their own even said, I started all this to help them out, because they all have their basket cases. And now who goes down to the Jew psychiatrist and pops their pills and tells their secrets to that creature from another world? We do. Psychiatry and psychology wasn't even invented for us. We're the civilizers of this world. We're the inventors. We're the rational thinkers. We don't need psychiatrists. That's the last place on earth you need to go. We help and we work with each other and we work with the Father. We don't need psychiatry. Why in the hell would a white person go to a psychiatrist? I don't even understand.
I don't know, Dan. It's just that every single category of life, every single area of our lives, we've allowed the Jew and his way of thinking to infiltrate, we've seen the fruits. I mean, how people don't see this is amazing to me, you know. And then anytime I ever talk to anybody about this, you know, all I ever hear, well, don't you remember, you know, Shmuley Berkowitz? He was a good guy.
Yeah.
So you have one outlier, you know, who speaks up maybe and does the right thing, or, you know, offers you a glass of water at their home, and all of a sudden all the crimes of his people, you know, should be forgiven. Just amazing to me. My answer always is, when they say that, is, well, why doesn't he speak up? If he's such a great guy, why doesn't he speak up about the crimes of his people then? And then you hear,
Well, a word of advice to the people listening, and we've been saying it for 20 years, but we'll repeat it. Back to basics, folks. Beans, bullets, and bandages. I think you know what that means. Keep your powder dry. Never, ever, ever surrender your firearms. Under no circumstances do you surrender your firearms. There are none. And as far as I'm concerned, when they try to take the weapons, they have identified themselves as traitors and as enemies of this republic. Simple as that. They're going to try to disarm you, and they're working for the Bolsheviks, and they are traitors to this republic.
Just think of what kind of a person that lives today in the 21st century who knows, especially the older people who are in these political offices, who know that in the 20th century alone, nearly, 285, 286 million people, innocent civilians, not casualties of war, non-combatants, non-military, civilian people, 286 million were killed by their own governments after they were disarmed. Are we going to say that Joe Biden and Barbara Boxer and Feinstein and Pelosi and Obama and every other traitor, they don't know these statistics?
Hmm.
When our people in Australia say, oh no, what a mistake we made. Americans, whatever you do, don't give up your weapons, because if you do, we're all done for. We are still, no matter how far we've fallen, people, we are still the shining city on the hill. People still look up to white Americans and say, we're not done for yet. All is not lost, because there's still America.
Yep.
That's a responsibility to our people, believe it or not. And Dan, we say it all the time, right? You woke me up to this. We're it.
Yeah, no, it's...
No matter how frightening that is, we're
I know.
In.
I know, it is frightening, but the more I dwell on it, meditate on it, and pray on it, Mike, and again, it hurts actually to even say it, but we are it. because, let's be honest, take a look at the world around us. Who else is it? Who else carries the Father's name, authority, and his law as we're trying to do it to our people? Who is trying to bend our people back into operating like family? Who else is trying to get us to pay attention to our offspring, our posterity? Who else is telling us the truth about the medical mafia and the Jews and everything? And all of these different fronts, just as if Christ himself were walking the earth. Because he didn't back down, and he told the truth, whether it was popular or not, didn't care. Who else is doing it? Who else is trying to be as Christ-like on air and off air more than our people? And I'm talking about you, me, and our audience. Who else is doing it?
Well, I don't know, Dan. I really don't. And when the Father says that it'll be a little flock, it'll be a remnant, there's 7 billion people on earth. I mean, I keep reading this number of 144,000. I mean, that's a county's worth of people.
Yeah.
That's a good-sized county's worth of people.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 10 million people in Brooklyn alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got counties right down here where I'm at. The counties run from 1.5 to 2.5 million per county down in the tip. Okay, mm-hmm. And you're only talking 144,000 worldwide.
Yeah.
If it's literal, okay. Now that still is somewhat debatable, but if it was literal, to be quite honest with you, I'm not sure there's 144,000. I don't know. Maybe there is, and we're like Elijah hiding in the cave, and he says, Elijah, get your ass out there and do what I told you to do, because I've got 7,000, which is a term to just mean I've got a whole bunch, just like you. I've got thousands out there just like you. Just because you don't know about them doesn't mean they're not out there. So,
right.
we hope and pray that's the case. We're given the job to be the mouthpiece for our people and for our king at this present time as we get ready to go into the next phase. We've been talking now for 20 years, screaming from the wilderness, these truths about our Father. And I think we're getting ready. There's a scripture, I don't have it in front of me, but there's a scripture that talks about there will come a time when he will silence the watchmen for their own safety. My personal opinion is that day may come fairly soon, that he's just going to shut down the warnings. Everybody that needed to hear the warnings is going to have heard them. You've either made up your mind to repent and be one of the Father's kinsmen, or you're going to side with the Antichrist. There is no middle ground.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's the term also, there's going to be a famine of the word. Well, the door to the ark is going to close. There was a point where, I think it was 100 years that Noah worked on the ark, and then, for 100 years, everybody laughed at him. Stop
yeah.
laughing when the door closed and the rains came.
That's right.
So people are going to laugh at us now, even our own kin. They laugh at us and they deride us. And well, wait a second. The things that we've been saying for years are coming to pass. My own dad says, well, how did you know that was going to happen? Well, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
I didn't invent this. I can't take credit for this. All of these things are happening. This isn't an accident. The one thing that we can, it's the greatest thing that we can latch onto is, the Father says, hey, I know the end from the beginning. I'm in control of events here. He's not asleep at the switchboard.
Right. Well, we have to hang on to that.
Yep.
I don't know about everybody else, but that's what keeps me going. I hang on to his hand every single day of my life. That's the only thing in this world that you can count on 100%. It's the only thing. So,
man.
All right, Michael, I think we'll wrap it up then. I'm going to keep an eye out. There's a lot of flap between now and Sunday, so, we don't have a crystal ball, but certainly there's enough smoke to tell us that there could be a brush fire right around the next corner here in the near future. So, but thanks for calling in, being part of it, and keep up the good work, and Yahweh bless your heart, bud.
Yes, sir. Yah bless. Have a good night.
Yah bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that'll be it for tonight. We'll close it up here with a short prayer. I didn't get to read Psalm 139, so grab your scriptures and read that before you go to bed, if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor, and thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We thank you for the word that goes out there, your truths, and it's turning the heads on quite a few people. Whatever that number is, it's in your purview and not ours, and we're just going to trust that everything's going to work out for your children. Even as crazy as all this nonsense looks, we just we love you. We're going to trust you. We ask for your continued guidance. We ask that you'd purge us of any unclean things that are in us to make us as white as snow. Give us good diligence, good vision. Also, help us with our issues with health. And especially give us that vision of liberty, that vision of what it means to be one of your sons or daughters, so that we can stand tall in these latter days against the evil machinations of these antichrists that have come in upon us. We also ask, Father, you would protect us from our enemies, and we ask all these things in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.